Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, I'm Steph.
And I'm Simon.
And welcome to The Food Fight, where we offer a different perspective on food culture issues around Australia and the world.
We'll talk with chefs, producers, business owners and experts to hear their stories and find out what makes them tick.
This is a Small Bites episode where we talk about side gigs and catering, the long days and hard work involved, and the tough toll that that can have on chefs. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Food Fight podcast. This one's a Small Bites episode. My name's Steph Postuma. I am your host alongside one of the leaders in cuisine here in the Cold Coast region, the Illawarra, Mr. Simon Evans.
Hello.
How you been, mate?
Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just, that's what we're going to talk about today, because yeah, you've been a busy man.
Just how busy I've been.
Yeah, we're just going to sit there and talk about it. Simon's going to whinge about how busy he is.
Yeah, just complain.
Yeah. But, so what we're going to talk about is, we'll talk about stuff that chefs do outside of being a chef. And, I think that a lot of chefs would be familiar with being asked to cater weddings and little functions outside of just working at their respective restaurants or catering businesses or wherever they work, because you've recently had a hell gig. So we might talk a bit about hell gigs and when the pressure's on in the storms.
I think it's you don't really hear, everyone kind of knows that the kitchen is quite tough. But maybe we'll delve a bit deeper into what makes it tough and what makes a particularly tough night compared to a normal tough night. I had a couple recently, actually.
Yeah.
There's just a couple of nights where you're just like, fucking hell. It was,
yeah, well, let's get going. Let's go. I'm just going to quiz you about some of your recent experiences, because Simon's been doing some cool gigs, tough gigs, which has made him a busy man outside sort of, you know, running Night Parrot and being the executive chef at Bangalore. Well, so
tends to happen, or it's happened to me, is that people ask, I'm always very happy to do catering stuff. I do quite enjoy it. It's different to being in the kitchen, poses its own challenges, but always tends to be places that there isn't a kitchen. So whether it's like a winery, we did an event in once, done it in like distilleries. So you kind of have to makeshift stuff. So it ends up just being, you end up in a little space with a table and a barbecue somewhere and you roll off it.
Totally. And I think that it'll be interesting for those out there who sort of haven't worked back of house or as catering for events and things like that, people who've attended weddings and stuff like that. Yeah. You kind of see these people in hospitality blacks in the background somewhere, and beautiful food gets presented to you, but a lot of the time you don't really know the that's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Especially when there's no equipment. I mean, you've got to love those venues that have thought about it and have commercial kitchens and things like that, and they have equipment. Well, I mean,
those ones tend to have their own chefs, so
yeah.
So especially just me being a sort of, I'll do an odd catering job here and there if it's something I want to do and the food sounds cool and it's a cool setup, then I'm like, yeah, cool, let's do it. But yeah, so obviously ends up being houses, places with no inside kitchen.
Yeah. So take us through what you've been doing. There was a recent gig up in the Southern Highlands.
Yeah, so we did Experience Nature. Really, it was an awesome idea. It's like a 10K walking track, and they get restaurants, and there was the guys from Trolley who make cocktails, a mobile cocktail thing. And they all set up stalls along this 10K walk, and the people just come through and you cook them your dish, and it was matched with wines. And it was 250 people, and we were on a cliff edge in Kangaroo Valley, like 10 meters from where I was cooking, was just a drop, just like a sheer drop.
Wow.
Like, it was a beautiful location. Like, it was really eerie where the fires had still been, but everything had started growing up. So it was kind of like singed tops of trees everywhere. But anyway, we basically got dropped off, myself and Ronnie, the manager of Bangalore, got dropped off with our helper, our guide for the day, who was a Nepalese fella, who was actually really good and really helpful. We sort of dropped off and they were like, okay, so like, Your trestle tables are there. The barbecues are there. Just get set up and make it look right. So we got dropped off all this like flat pack stuff. And we're just like left to make a kitchen and like a sitting area. It was like a weird cooking show. And just like with nothing else there. So I had like two eskies full of fish and salad. Like I bought just whatever I could. We transported there and we just left there to go. And then after a couple of hours, 250 people walked through. And we just had to, I just cooked barramundi on this barbecue for like 5 hours straight.
Yeah, right. So is that barramundi dish...
Yeah.
From the Bangalore menu, more or less?
Yeah, similar. Like, it's the one I do all the time.
Yeah.
I always cook barramundi.
Simon's signature, barramundi and Karkala.
Yeah, I probably need to get a new dish.
And so how'd you... And so, I mean, you know, you got 250 people arriving all at the same time. How do you get it out? Like, so is it...
That one wasn't...
What are the challenges
there? That wasn't too bad. So it was one dish. I said a lot. So preparation is key in a kitchen. And something like this, when you know you're going to be finding all sorts of other problems, you just got to kind of be ready on stuff, which is probably what stitched me up a little bit when we get to the wedding I did recently. So this one, I had all my barramundi portioned up, cut up, ready to go. I had all my salad. I actually had to pick all the little salad-y bits. That's where my little Nepalese mate on the day helped out. He picked all my salad for me. And then we just, literally just cooked in the elements with the sun. That's why I got this lovely tan.
Beautiful tan. Oh, look at that. It goes up to about here. Wow. Yeah. It's almost transparent.
Pretty much,
that
tan line. It's quite a change of color there. So that one was nicely prepped up for. Also cooked in the middle of a field recently with Yerra Binging guys.
Yeah. So how much are you allowed to disclose about that?
I don't know.
A bit of it's been out on social media. You've put some on social
media. Well, yeah. Pretty much.
Give us a brief synopsis of the Yerra Bingen Farm thing out Yerra with Christian.
Yerra Bingen Farm, who I'm repping today. So Christian, who's been on the show before, has a little farm. He's starting now. He's got some big plans for it. He's got some kangaroo grass growing and he's starting to grow natives. And he got asked to be on Zac Efron's show Down to Earth, which is in Australia. The first series is coming out soon. But it's just like Zac Efron and his mate, Darren, who's a bit of like a wellness guru. Just kind of
course.
Just going around, just having a right laugh.
Yeah, okay.
And just going to places like food places, energy, environmentalism.
Yep.
And just popping up. So they end up just at this farm. So Christian got them on his like grass picker thing, which picked all the grass, and then I fed them some food from a barbecue in the middle of Bargo. In the middle of nowhere. So again, just another weird one. I rocked up, I had a trestle table, some coal. And like I took the stove tops to make like a sort of makeshift smoker thing for the pumpkin. So just set it all up, made a fire, and then cooked for 30 people just in a field.
Bit of fun.
Just a weird one. Like that game.
Zac Efron.
Yeah, it was pretty chill. Long day. So like, I mean, I was foraging ingredients like at midnight the night before and I rocked up there at 6 a.m. and cooked till 6 p.m. And then collapsed afterwards.
Yeah. That's like... I think one of the challenges in these sorts of things, and I've got sort of the experience via my working for my dad for his catering business and stuff, is like there's just no break. It's just a long day. These big. We used to do sort of like big corporate events and stuff like that, where it was always like, you know, morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, like snacks and drinks, dinner, and then that's like a full day. These big sort of, we used to do big ones at the ANU and stuff, these big sort of conferences and stuff. You just don't get to rest. I feel like you get really dehydrated through the day. Like you just forget to drink water. You don't know where anything is.
You almost
is.
Like don't have time. Like when it's all going, you don't have time to drink water. Like you,
yeah,
like
they are totally.
Yeah, like if you do big catering like that, which is why I don't think I'd want to do catering full time. Because it just like they're huge. Like once every so often, they're huge days.
Oh yeah.
Normally you're working. Even like a big wine dinner is a big day. Like you're there prepping early. You go through prep. You might grab something to eat. I'm the worst as well. If I'm busy like that, I just don't feel like eating.
Yeah.
Like you're just moving. You're going. Like you're just kind of you're tasting, but you don't. I never have an appetite, so I'll just go the whole day without eating. try and stay hydrated, probably don't do very well, and I just ruin myself by the end.
Yeah, totally. You're so right about that, collapsing into, you know, on the couch at the end of the day. Yeah, and then
sometimes
you're broken and your car or your van or whatever you've got is full of dirty crap that needs to be addressed at some point the following week.
Because some of my clothes still smell of smoke right now.
I'm sure.
Like I put like a pair of jeans on yesterday and was like, are these still smoky?
Yeah.
Like I've just all my clothes are now smoked. But yeah, like it's, I mean, it, like you're looking at 14 hour days aren't like, that's pretty normal for a big event.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a slog.
Yeah.
Like if you think you're tired after like an 8 hour day of doing something, like 14 hours, like pretty much straight
on your feet. Yeah. Manual work, like, and because I mean, you can be on your feet in a kitchen prepping and doing service for a full day, which is, you know, like you get used to it, you adapt to that as a chef and stuff. But when a 14 hour day on your feet involves packing and unpacking stuff and setting things up and moving boxes around all day, and
it's
and
almost the worst part.
Yeah, like it's the hardest part.
Lugging things, like pack down is the worst, like, because your back is hurting. Your feet are hurting. You're already done, and you can see the end. Mm. And then you're like, oh, I've got to clean this up.
Yeah, I know.
And pack it up.
It's the worst.
And like, you sort of always ends up being like, always have like trays and like gastros and all this stuff. And it's like, right, just give them a rinse, just so they're not going to like make my car too gross, and then get them back to the restaurant and they can go through the dishwasher there.
Exactly.
Maybe that day, maybe in a few days.
Yeah. So that brings us to one of the most challenging events you've had to cater for, which you told me about the other day.
It's definitely up there. Like, I've had some tough days of like different events and like opening restaurant, opening the bar. Like, this is probably one of the closest I was to like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Cause it was on the 20th. So crazy downpours everywhere. Just down the coast. And that was where the rain was hitting that day. So, wedding is, this big house, awesome setup, great wedding. Was had this big smoker barbecue. I was gonna cook everything off. Everything's gonna be quite like relaxed. Like, I really like the idea.
All the grazing tables set up too. So like, people might be wondering how the hell, like, how many covers? How many?
It was 110.
110.
And I was basically doing the food side on by myself
on his own.
It was a bit of quite ambitious.
It's definitely ambitious. And people think, well, how the fuck do you manage that? But it is that grazing table sort of serve yourself setup definitely helps.
Yeah.
And preparation is key.
Yeah. I basically had to cook stuff on the barbecue and then put it out on boards on the table.
Yeah.
Sound very simple. But the weather was gross. It was just torrential. And it was like, if it stayed like a light bit of light rain, it would have been fine. But all the ground where I was cooking was just soaked through. So it was muddy. Then the wind and the rain were just coming in. So I had like a barbecue underneath a little marquee. And it was,
I want you to all picture, I want the listeners to picture Simon here, by the way. So like, Simon by himself, he's got his car, he's got his prep, he's got everything ready to go. He's planned for this and prepped for this. However, the weather was last Saturday, which was the worst day of the rains that we've recently had that have caused floods all up and down the east coast of Australia. And Simon's place to cook is a little gazebo that you buy from Anaconda.
Bunnings.
Just pushed off to the side of the wedding somewhere.
So it was, it was set up beside the house, beside the big marquee where everyone was in.
Yeah, but you were outdoors.
Yeah, I was outdoors. And to get to the cool room, I either had to go through the crowd or through a little bit of grass that went round to the back of the house. That grass was just sodden. So I was just slopping around in mud and
in your
rain.
Birkenstocks.
Like, I should have worn gumboots.
Yeah.
My Birkies are probably not the same and won't be the same ever again. So my two options to get anything from the cool room that I had to bring across was to go through a crowd, which is quite tough when you're carrying stuff and it's not the best look of the wedding. So I was going around the outside quite a lot, and then it's just in the rain, so just getting wet, like trying to up this little incline, like trying to fall over there with like stuff in my hand. And then as the rain just got worse and worse, like, it started off not too bad. Like, I had the first round was like cheese and meats and stuff all on boards, all out on time, beautiful. Next round, start cooking stuff, and the rain just picks up and the wind picks up and it starts coming in the side of my marquee to the point where I had like a trestle table sort of yay big. And that there's workable space because the rain just kept shrinking. So I ended up with about this much prep space. So I had like my boards
for like 110
all my,
people.
All like anything set up. I had like an esky with little things in there. Like, So I just had less and less space, and the wind started coming through the barbecue. So stuff I was cooking like on top, like very slowly, wasn't getting any heat. So then I had to put everything onto the coals, kept losing my temperature on that. So when it came to like trying to get the main course out, obviously I told them we'd be a little bit late. So it was supposed to be 7:30. It was like, it'll be 8:15, maybe 20 past. Yeah. So it just made everything very hard, like temperature, trying to get this fish cooked. I had this barramundi I was cooking, had these lamb shells to heat up. And then because of the rain and where we had to put the barbecue, I was quite close. I was right on the side of the marquee because I had to get access to the tables, which is where all the speeches were happening. So when I started to cook all my lamb, all the fat started rendering off, all the smoke started coming and just pouring into the main marquee. So I was like, fuck. So I put the side up on my little marquee. So I just created a little smoke box for myself. So then I just had like, and then, but then because I couldn't, then I had to always go around that side through the mud anytime I wanted to put something on or like flap the side. So I was just in this little smoke box, just with rain coming in from one side, smoke swirling around me, trying to cook stuff in like this much space.
In muddy Birkenstocks. In just
muddy, wet Birkies, just like hot and cold at the same time. And it was just quite a challenge. Did get everything up.
Yep.
Everyone.
How late was mine's?
I ended up having to go like two goes. So I put the barramundis up and then I put some lamb up and I kept the sides coming through and I put these butterfly marinated chickens up at the end. And after that, it was fine. I did a little dessert, but I was doing the mains just almost broke me.
Yeah, right.
Like, to the point where I was like, I should have got someone to help me. But then I was like, I would feel really bad if someone was helping me right now, that I'd made them come to this, that I'd like made them join me here. Like I would have felt very guilty. I probably would have given that person like most of my money from it just to be like, I'm sorry. I'm so like, because I know if I was working that, I would be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like, you know, and challenging situations like that and everything's not quite as perfect as I want it at times. So that made me a bit more flustered as well. And I was like, no, this is no good. This is rubbish. And I'm like, getting stuff going. And yeah, it was just one of those shifts where you just very much have to knuckle down, push through, push out the pain. Cause I was pretty broken next day. And I mean, it was a week ago.
Yeah. Well, it was last Saturday.
It already seems like it's a bit of a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
I can just mentally, about talk to it.
Mentally and physically taxing.
Yeah, yes. It was, yeah, it definitely was both. And it was, I started at 10 and I finished at 1 and basically just worked through that whole day. Mm. So that was a long shift.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the, again, I mean, a couple of helpers would have been useful, but again, it was a Saturday night. I was like, who's going to come help me on a Saturday night? Who's a good chef?
Yeah. Anyway.
But these events take a lot of work from behind the scenes. Like the food might come up.
But I think the thing to note though is like what we sort of were saying at the beginning, it was like I reckon for, you know, 100 out of the 110 people at the wedding,
yeah,
they didn't even notice that you were absolutely in your little marquee.
Because I was quite close and people could see the rain, people were quite aware.
Right.
That I kept how troubling and tough it was to myself, because anytime anyone would be like, don't know how you're bloody doing it, mate, I'd be like, ah, you know, it's just cooking, just gotta chuck it on the barbecue and dying
just
inside.
Heating stuff up,
yeah, keep smiling. So everyone could sort of see that it was a taxing process to get out.
But I mean, everything got out there and everyone seemed to enjoy it.
Seemed good and it was a great wedding. And the food we did was real cool. We had like a whole barramundi cooked over paper bark. I hung some salmons from the frame and smoked them really slowly over some cherry wood. So some really cool food, and it looked like a very fun wedding.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy my beer afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the weather.
Yeah, man.
Unpredictable. Like I thought when I moved to Australia, I wouldn't have to cook in such conditions.
Neither did we. Yeah. In nothing like it.
Mm.
Do you like... I guess what we're sort of like, we're obviously giving your experience of these sorts of things, but I guess the point is like chefs get asked to do a lot of different things. And a lot of the time these sorts of events, like when you get asked to cater in these sorts of events, when you're not a catering business that has all the equipment at your disposal and the staff on hand and the, you know, that sort of thing. Like, you're very much just kind of like shooting from the hip and making decisions about what you can and can't achieve and working with the client and stuff. And at the end of the day, they always turn out to be pretty hard work.
Yeah.
But rewarding work.
Like, I seem to keep doing them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I do like the challenge and the logistics of it. But like the... Yeah, on the day is just always tough, no matter what it is. Like, it's just, I mean, yeah, cooking stuff enough when you have a restaurant and a kitchen and everything you need and set up and staff. So trying to do it on a fly a bit in these various places is just is a challenge.
Mm.
But yeah, maybe I just like the self-flagellation of doing these things.
Well, I think that it's also like for a person like you, not anymore, you know, being the owner and head chef of a hatted restaurant where that's where you want to focus your attention. You're kind of working across a couple of venues, executive chef role at one and still running another. And then, you know, doing this sort of thing on the side and doing those sorts of events and working with Christian, you know, for a lot of events and things like that as well. Like, you kind of just want to take all those sorts of opportunities and sort of keep those doors open for you and stuff as a chef.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think catering does have its own special kind of issues and problems. And I've done quite a lot now through myself, through Cavo and Bangalay that not much can kind of throw you or shock you. It's just knowing like timings of things and knowing weddings are never going to stay on time and you have to be flexible with your food and like, and just practices of like, what's the best way for me to cook this in a timely manner so it can go up? Like, do I cook it there before and chill it, or do I like warm it up this way and hold it and then finish cooking? There's also like little logistics of like, what's the best way of doing this? Like the lamb shoulders I had for the wedding, I was like, well, if I'm going to try and cook lamb shoulders, they're going to take up the barbecue space for 6 hours if I try and do them like that. So I basically steamed them in a combi the night before for about 6-7 hours and then chilled them and then got them on a hot barbecue to get that char and warm them through. And then you end up with a real nice kind of roast lamb shoulder. Yeah. So like little things like that, working out how you go from, you know, from raw product to on the table in the best method and best way to sort of to make it easy and keep quality. Little things like that. Like that that's kind of what I like about catering. It's almost like there's a set of problems. Well, there's you've got all these raw ingredients you need to get on the table. Like, what's the best way of doing that? Like, how do you go about, like, do I pre-cook this or do I wait to do that? Like, what times can I put stuff through the barbecue? Like, I just started organizing doing a lunch at Blamby Neighborhood Center on Wednesday with Goodwill Only. And we just went through, Scott Maletto and I went through the prep of that tomorrow, and we're going to prep a lot of it at Dagwood's kitchen. So they've got one oven. So it's, okay, let's make the person making the cake, they cook the cake and they can use the oven whilst everyone else can prep the potatoes. And the potatoes are boiled, so they don't need the oven. So once they're done, the cake should be out. Then you want to get the root veg in the oven because you can run that through. Once they got those through and those chopped, start doing the salad stuff. And at the end, then put the lamb in. Then when you take the lamb in, put the chicken in, and that will get us to Wednesday at 10 a.m. when we got to go there.
Yeah.
So it's like working out those little Tetris blocks of where stuff fits and how you're going to do stuff. And that stuff I quite like.
Yeah. It is fun. Like, there is nothing, it depends on what the sort of personality that you have, but there is nothing more fun than sort of like putting together a strategy and a plan for executing a job that has a lot of moving parts and for it to come off smoothly. It's like, if you look at it on paper, it's like, fuck, this is going to be difficult. Mm. Like, how are we going to get this together? But as you say, just like when you get everything in line and you pull it off smoothly and you get to the end of it, like, it's like, we were so prepared for that, that everything worked perfectly. It's a really, really good feeling.
That's the best feeling.
Yeah.
Like even just a big night at the restaurant, like we had a huge night on Saturday at Bangalore with 94 booked.
Wow.
With normally sort of staff with 5 for a night like that. We don't have 4 this time. We had a busy lunch. We basically ran, the kitchen basically was open the whole day from breakfast to dinner because we just had, you know, busy for lunch, straight into dinner, had a little event in between. And it was sort of like a push, like 10 minutes where we had to get set up. It was like, pull everyone out, quick cigarette, like coach's halftime talk. It's like, it's inches and miles. Like, my Al Pacino on and be like, gotta stick together, boys. We're just gonna keep in this together. Make sure you communicate and we'll be fine and we'll get there. And like, and then kind of like go back in all like hyped and pumped up. Like, we should have done a little like hands in maybe.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get to it and we just smashed that. And we had a really good service and it was really smooth. I mean, 94 people, some tables always gonna wait a little bit, but everything was quite in acceptable ranges. And like, in like the middle of it, we were just cruising. And nice. It was just super fun because everything was working. You had time to have a little bit of banter and get your head out of water. And that, like, that feeling's awesome. And then when you get through it and you're like, that wasn't as bad as I thought it might be. Or like, we didn't die.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best feeling. I think that is kind of what draws chefs to being chefs. To, you kind of have to take a bit of a perverse love of craziness like that, and then love the pulling yourself through it and coming out the other side. Because if you can't have kind of some enjoyment of that, then it's probably not the industry for you.
I think anyone listening who has worked in any capacity in hospitality can probably relate to a lot
of
that.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Like, yeah, the getting home and just being like dead to the world. Like, yeah. My back was, after the wedding, my back was shot. I was just smoky, greasy, sweaty, like getting out the car to come up the front door was just like, oh shit. And then like just trying to shower it all off and being like, I'm still dirty, this is gross. And then just like collapsing. Like that's the kind of reality of these big things. I think for non-chefs out there, when you have been to an event and it's a big event and there's a lot of stuff going on, there's a lot of people who worked very hard and are probably, when you're going home to chill after your nice night, there's a lot of chefs who are probably sinking a beer and trying to forget about it.
Yeah, for sure. And you wonder why alcohol is a problem in the industry. Yeah. It's like people use these vices to sort of deal with the stress because that it's bloody stressful.
Yeah, and I mean, a beer after something like that does just taste good.
It just tastes
really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, what, one beer good, a couple of beers good.
Yeah.
Not every night though.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's leave it there for that. But to finish off, I just want to like talk about some of the cool and exciting things we've got going on, Simon. I hope everyone's enjoying this podcast as we're releasing it on this weekly basis, throwing a few more of these Small Bites episodes in, just having a bit more banter and lighthearted stuff. But got some really, really cool stuff coming up. So today's Monday. This episode's going to come out this afternoon, so on the day we record it. So tomorrow I'm off to Queensland, to the Great Barrier Reef and stuff for a little while, like up until Easter. But on Friday I'm going to Curramine Beach, which is about an hour and a half south of Cairns, to go and have a chat with Chris Bolton from Chris Bolton's Wild Caught, Line Caught, Coral Trout, Ikajime, Bled, Ice Slurry, best product probably on the market in terms of fish quality in Australia.
He's won quite a few delicious awards for his fish. You see him on lots of menus. Babyface, use him quite a lot.
He's one of them.
And he's a big fan. Josh Nyland at St. Peter.
Yep.
Uses a lot of it. He's probably a big champion.
So he's a great follow on Instagram too. If you don't follow Chris Bolton, he's, you know, beautiful thing about commercial fishermen is that they're salt of the earth people. But someone like Chris Bolton also has a real mind for sustainability and product quality, which is great. So really looking forward to talking to him. And then in a week from then, we're doing a big podcast trip down to Melbourne where we've got plenty
on tour.
I'll leave that to the UK people. We're going to have really good guests. We're going to be talking to Pat Norse, Rushani Eppa from Time Out and Culinary Magazine. We'll be talking to Victor Leong, Alan Eccles from Gimlet, a bunch of other ones. Some really, really cool podcasts that we're really looking forward to. We're doing about six
we're
down in Melbourne. Interstate, hopefully have a few good meals and stuff down there as well. And then we'll be back with all sorts of things that we're planning up here as well. We'll be talking to the guys from PNV, hopefully Wes Lambert from the Hospitality and Catering Association. He's coming up too.
Lots to chat.
You know, Danielle Alvarez is still on the way. couple of other really fun ones on the way as well that we won't quite tell the audience about just yet because we haven't locked them in. We don't want to make any promises.
Mm.
But we've got some fun and interesting podcasts on the way.
It'd be great to see to look forward to the Melbourne Victoria perspective of the last year, having been a kind of slightly different timeline to Sydney, where we've been used to having everything open for quite some time. Be interested to see how Victoria is coping and how they're going.
That's it. Mm. All right. Thanks, Simon.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, everyone. Hello, dear listeners. Steph here. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Food Fight. If you want to get in touch with us, it's at The Food Fight Podcast on Instagram or thefoodfightpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you and we want to talk to you. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps. If you want to hit me up, it's quicksandfood.com or at quicksandfood on Instagram. And if you want to get in touch with Simon, it's simon_evans_TBD on Instagram. Thanks so much for tuning in and we'll catch you again with another episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.